They're coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Race the Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life.
Good morning. Welcome to the Friday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. As always, thank you for joining us. A little bit later on in the program, we will be joined by Jenny Reese. She is live from Churchill Downs. We'll get a live check-in from the Louisville area. We'll find out what the weather's like over the next couple of days, if there's any buzz on the backstretch, because Jenny was going to be on the backstretch this morning prior to talking to us, and we'll find out over the last few days whether there's been any notable buzz on Derby or Oaks horses. So we'll check in with Jenny Reese live from Louisville a little bit later on. We'll also be joined this morning by Richard Migliore. It wouldn't be a Saratoga season without a visit from the Mig. So we'll plug him in, get some of his thoughts on this Saratoga season, maybe get some of his Oaks and Derby thoughts, and also maybe look at the Woodward as well for tomorrow with Rich. But we're going to kick things off with one of our Gary Contessa interviews. Obviously, tomorrow, all eyes on Tis the Law, and on board Tis the Law, Manny Franco. And a few days ago, Gary Contessa sat down with Manny Franco, so I thought we'd plug that in on this day before the Derby, just to give you a little insight for folks who maybe aren't familiar with Manny, who's kind of just come on the scene and made some noise over the past year and a half or so. So if you're not as familiar with him as you are with some of the other veterans around here on the New York circuit, on this day before the Derby, where he is going to have all the attention on him and his the law, I thought, let's plug in the Gary Contessa interview and maybe familiarize yourself a little bit more with Manny Franco. That's next.
Gary Contessa with Capital OTB. And today we have the privilege of speaking with jockey Manny Franco, the regular rider for Tis the Law, who's going to be headed to Kentucky after this weekend's races and riding the heavy, heavy odds-on favorite, Tis the Law. Manny, you're the jockey of the moment. I mean, you have a big, big opportunity coming up next week with Tis the Law in the Derby. Manny, tell us how you got to this point. Talk to me about, you were born in Puerto Rico. Talk to me about going to the Puerto Rican jockey school, how you became a jockey.
I always follow my dad's step, and he liked horse racing, and he always, sometimes he go and he bet and go to the track in the mornings too. And like I said, I always follow him, go with him, and that way I get involved to the sport and fall in love with the sport.
You loved watching the jockeys at the track in Puerto Rico, right?
Yes.
And about what age did you realize, you know what, I'm going to do this?
Well, I used to play baseball till I have 15 years old. So, but that point, I was already too small for the age that I have it, and I decided to move to the horse racing, and that's why, because I was small for 15 years, so.
How do you go about getting into the Puerto Rican jockey school? What do you have to do to get accepted to go there?
You gotta go and get a paper to you know, all your information and everything, but you gotta be on weight, you know, like they want you to be less than 102, and you go and they put you in the scale and see how much you weigh and everything, and then they call you if you've been accepted.
So where did you come? Did you come directly to New York, or did you go somewhere else first?
No, I went to Parks Racing, Philadelphia Parks first, and then I moved to Aqueduct.
And that was a great move on your part. I remember you from being very immature, young jock, and I've watched you progress into what you are today. And boy, the last 2 years have been unbelievable for you. I've looked at your stats and your numbers. It's got to be like the dream that you always had is finally coming true.
That's right. I'm very glad to be doing good here in New York Colony, because it's the toughest colony in the world, and do good here is a bless.
And you have done well. And anybody that's seen you gets to see you with your beautiful little girl. I've seen you so many times walking from the track back to the jockey's room holding your daughter's hand. Tell us about your daughter.
And she's everything. She just came to change my world, you know, like I wanna do my best always, work hard and everything to have her good, you know.
So now you're coming up to the Kentucky Derby. You're gonna ride perhaps the shortest favorite in many, many years. He's going into this race, Tis the Law, is going in at even money. How do you feel about the way he's coming into this race?
And I feel happy and can't wait for the race. I know the horse is doing good. He wore his final work today and he did it nice, really well. And like I say, I can't wait for the race.
Tell us about other horses that you've ridden that are close to your heart.
Man, the Jockey Club Gold Cup that I winning for Uriah San Luis.
Oh yeah.
And this guy, like everybody know, they don't get too many great ones winners, and I was able to give them a great one with this great lover.
Mendelssohn is on the inside. Diversify is given way. Here comes the finish. It is going to be a photo finish, and I think it was Discreet Lover. Manny Franco waves his whip in victory.
I have another one, Charing, when I win my first Breeders' Cup last year for Grand Motion. That's one too.
Selflessly on the far outside, Sweet Melania to catch. Charing confronts her. A 16th to go. Charing takes the lead. Late move from Daye. Back to third is Sweet Melania. Charing and Manny Franco have won.
Winning the Breeders' Cup is almost as good as winning the Derby.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
we're certainly looking forward to watching you in the Derby. And Manny, I can't thank you enough for coming out here and talking to us. You're a good man. You got a great heart. And we're all going to be rooting for you. Our viewers and I will all be rooting for you next Saturday. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you for having me.
Gary Contessa with Capital OTB and Manuel Franco.
So there it is, as I said, leading into the piece, Manny Franco. It's essentially relatively new on the scene up here in New York. You know, folks who are watching us follow Saratoga closely and are familiar with some of the veterans, but maybe needed a little bit more of an introduction to learn some of the background on Manny Franco, who will be all eyes on with Tis the Law tomorrow in the Derby. Happy to be joined now. I mentioned at the top of the show our friend Rich Migliori. It wouldn't be a Saratoga season without Rich coming to sit in with us. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry I was a little late, but I got here.
Yeah, no problem. Very busy, obviously, with the schedule on TV and whatnot. And as I say, just appreciate your stopping back here to give some insights and whatnot. And since we just watched the Manny profile and you and I were talking while that was playing, give us your thoughts on Manny as an up-and-comer and now to have this chance in the Kentucky Derby. And I think everybody kind of feels like Barkley Tag and Saratoga, hats off to them for sticking with Manny going into the Derby. Your thoughts on Manny Franco?
Well, I agree. Hats off to the connections. It's always easier, I think, to go with maybe a higher profile rider. But Manny has always shown to me he's every bit as good as Irad Ortiz, Jose Ortiz. I mean, they're all terrifically talented. He just needed opportunity, and he got the opportunities, making the most of it. But I'm proud of him because, you know, I was teaching the apprentice jockey program for Naira, and I had all three of them, Irad, Jose, and Manny, in successive years. And they came here very, very polished riders already. But watching them progress and develop if they all stay healthy, there's no telling what they're going to accomplish.
Yeah, again, he's been a kind of on the up and come for about a year and a half or so now, and I think has become very prominent in the thinking and the handicapping of New York players, as the Ortiz brothers clearly have become. So it's going to be fun to watch him, particularly tomorrow in the Derby. Wish him a lot of good luck. You talked about the apprentice program. We've talked about that before. Talk about, as a jockey comes on the scene, and what your experience was like as you came up, because I think in those days you were just kind of relying on maybe the veterans in the room giving you a little a boost now and then. But how have things changed for new guys who come on the scene as compared to when you came on the scene?
Well, they didn't have anything like the apprentice jockey program back then. I came up under a contract, though.
Yeah.
So you had a stable, and Steve DeMauro, my boss, really schooled me and kind of, and he had been a rider himself. So he kind of clued me into what it was going to be like going into the jockey's room, how to conduct myself, how to handle myself. And then we would go over the races every day. I would finish riding, and if I was done early, I'd go back to the barn, help feed, and we'd sit in the office and talk about that day's races or the next morning. And before I could go off to the jockey's room, we'd kind of go over that day's races. So, you know, having a mentor like that was a big deal. Kids don't come up on the contracts anymore, which I think in some ways is a negative because they don't get the same foundation. But again, all the kids are coming out of the Puerto Rican Jockey School, they're amazing. I mean, whoever's teaching there, my hat's off to them. They do a great job.
Yeah, and certainly the guys we've mentioned, very good. And let's talk about that at the meet so far. I have the stats after yesterday. Irod with 53, Jose with 50, Joel Rosario 44, Luis Saez with 34. He's, in the last couple of weeks, he's been riding great.
Fire.
And on the trainer side of things, Todd Pletcher up one over Chad Brown, 27-26. Mike Maker, 20. Christoph Clement, 19. Linda Rice has had a good meet with 14. Jim Bond, a good meet. Dave Donk, a very good meet as well. So I think on the human side of things, particularly on the top end, where it's coming down, these races are going to be very exciting over the last 4 days. Your thoughts on the trainers and jockeys battle?
Well, I love that it's close. It lends some excitement to it. You know, it's interesting. I started coming here when it was a 24-day meet, and the leading trainer literally could win with 7 or 8 winners. The leading jockey, 20-25, was, but it was spread out more.
Yeah.
You had, you know, everybody had 40 horses. That was the maximum. Now, you know, there's obviously, it's different. Guys can have 100 or more. So they tend to dominate. But it's nice to see Todd Pletcher come in here and, you know, him and Chad battling it out. I love that. You talked about Manny Franco. You think about missing the first 6 days because of COVID. Momentum is big up here. And if he had gotten off to an equal start with everybody, there's no telling.
Luis, yeah.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Yeah, you said Manny. But,
Luis, yeah. If he had gotten off to, you know, an equal start, equal footing, and had the momentum, because the way he's riding, and one of the things you know about Luis is he's going to be aggressive. Aggression is good. I don't know where people got this idea that speed was a negative. And you see a lot of races, guys grabbing and choking. Dylan Davis has been riding terrific. My brother Michael works for him. And one of the talks I had with Dylan was, don't take anything away that comes easy to a horse. Go forward. Get your position going forward. You don't have to put 10 pounds of pressure on the reins. Put 5 pounds of pressure on the reins. Allow horses to run up underneath you. And he's been riding better because he's allowing horses to do what comes natural to them. Never take a horse out of the natural gate.
He's having a good meet, too. And his brother kind of coming on the scene on the trainer side.
Eddie, and, you know, I have to say my condolences to the Davis family. Robbie's mom passed the other day, Dylan's grandmother, so condolences to him. But having ridden with Robbie so many years and you know, seeing Dylan since he's in diapers, it's fun for me. I'm dating myself, my age. But it's been fun for me to watch his progression as well.
And as I said, on the trainer side, there also been Jim Bond had the good meet. Dave Donk, as I mentioned, with a nice 3 win on Sunday.
Jimmy Bond, so high percentage. And I love, again, another family affair. His sons work with him, you know, basically based up here. So it's gratifying to watch people that work so hard have success.
And talk about your perspective with the whole, I've been asking people the entire meet, the quarantine and New York racing taking the break. But I think just watching the other sports as they've gotten underway, to me, you know, the kind of stops and starts pro baseball has had, I think racing has done the best job of all the pro sports And I also commend New York and New York Racing, because we came into the Saratoga meet when things were still kind of fresh. We really had just kind of gotten back underway. And middle of July, we were all kind of like, how's this going to work out? But I thought New York Racing and Saratoga have done very well. We all had to have the tests to start. They temp every day. And really, you know, I mean, there's 4 days left. It seems like it has gone better than planned up here at Saratoga.
Well, I agree. I think they've done a tremendous job. And, you know, even today, I tried to sneak in this gate to get here quicker. And, you know, Noah had to go and go through the protocols. And they've done a remarkable job under very trying circumstances. And it's been eerie, especially when you're on the apron set at the eighth pole with no fans. Yeah. And we miss the fans. I mean, that's one of the things that makes Saratoga great. You know, the people in Saratoga is what makes Saratoga so great. So we've missed that. But, you know, hopefully with the shows on Fox, we've at least conveyed our excitement, our enthusiasm, and allowed people to enjoy it with us.
Yeah, I had Eric Donovan in a couple of days ago, and I said to him, you guys have been doing a great job with the show, which I think has been a benefit to racing during this period with other sports either absent or condensed. It's allowed maybe folks to get introduced to horse racing a little bit. And you guys have done a great job, and certainly bringing Saratoga to the fans during this fan absent period has been very important. I had Safi Joseph on the other day, who's just kind of getting his first feel of Saratoga. I said, man, next year I think you're really going to find it much more exciting.
A little different. You know, and I go back to when we didn't have the paddock we have now. Horses saddled out under the trees.
Yeah, people may not remember that.
Where the cars park now. And you'd walk through the crowd. There were no rails. It's amazing nobody got their head kicked off, honestly. But, you know, I came up here. I was 15 the first summer. And I had to ride the pony in front of all of our entries to the paddock. And I thought that was the greatest thing, because you're a kid on a horse riding through the crowd. I thought I made it right there. That was fantastic. But it's always been that way. The participation from the people that love the sport so much, and particularly the local people here. You know, yesterday I checked in the hotel, because I'm here for the remainder, and talking racing with them, and they're into it, and they know what's going on, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's what I say. Saratoga is great, not because of what happens on, just because of what happens on the track. That obviously is where we're all focused, but it's outside the fence. It's when you're downtown, you're sitting at a table at a restaurant, and the people at the next table are talking about what they're going to play in the double later this afternoon, or they hit the triple yesterday, and the local media is all into it, and that's what makes Saratoga so special.
Well, how about when you go to the restaurants after the races, and the pink sheet would come out about 7:30, and everybody was waiting for the pink sheet, usually outside of Lillian's in downtown, which isn't Lillian's anymore, but you know, that's always been one of the allures, the ambiance of Saratoga. And again, it's the people that make it.
Let's talk a little bit about this season at Saratoga on the horse side. We hit on the human side, and I made a little list here. First-time starters, Cantata, I thought stood out. Nashville a couple of days ago, not a two-year-old, but a first-time starter for Steve Asmussen, adds to his arsenal of sprinters, which includes Volatile, Yopan, who looked good the other day. Swiss Skydiver, obviously, and Tisdalog Gamine, who are showing up today and tomorrow down at Churchill. Win-win-win last weekend was phenomenal.
What a performance.
Yeah, what are some of the standouts to you?
Well, that was a standout, and we were able to illustrate it on the show. He was really resenting the kickback, sloppy track, and it was as visual as you'll ever see it. A horse just like, I'm not running through that. And when Javier whipped him out, you knew he had horse, because he wasn't going to go that wide if he wasn't, you know, running a little bit. And once he got a kickback, the way he dropped his head and finished, that was remarkable. The name's escaping me. The two-year-old of Wesley Ward's on the turf.
Oh, it's going to escape me, too. But, yes, who was fun out. There were a couple of good two-year-old performances on the turf. But,
wow. Yeah. My Uncle Mo Colt?
Yeah.
I mean, he just was phenomenal. Yeah. You don't see two-year-olds do that. Again, we're blessed. We come up here every year. I've saved programs for probably 35 years from up here. You'll get a two-year-old race in the 80s. That horse won the Kentucky Derby next year. That horse wound up being sprint champion. This horse wound up being turf champion, all out of the same race. So, you know, we're blessed that we get to see the best of the best congregate up here.
Yeah, and I've said it all meet long. It's unfortunate. With such a powerhouse of superstars. The divisions came into Saratoga running like it's going to be a special year. It's played out that way, and the weather for the most part, the last week or so, but the weather otherwise has been kind of glorious. It's just a shame the fans couldn't get up here, but hopefully next year. Let's talk a little bit about and get some of your thoughts on the big weekend down at Churchill. I mentioned Gamine and Swiss Skydiver up here, the test and the Alabama. And I said the test to the Kentucky Oaks, kind of a throwback, because when I was a kid, test would lead into the Alabama. Yep. Not so much anymore this year, but Gamine's going to make it interesting. Swiss Skydiver, folks are also talking a little bit about speech, but I've said it for the last few days, to have these two horses, Gamine and Swiss Skydiver, perform the way they did up here, and then come back 3 and 4 weeks later and face off to make a decision who's better. That Oaks today is phenomenal.
Oh, it's phenomenal, and you've got Gamine, who's brilliant speed. You know, the mile and an eighth, yeah, sure, a question, but boy, the way she, as easily as she does things. Swiss Skydiver, kind of a throwback kind of horse. Takes her show on the road, travels, brings it every time. Stamina. You know, they say boxing matches are made by matchups. I think this race is, you know, you can equate it to that. This is a matchup. The speed horse against the horse with stamina, who's not slow. I mean, she puts herself in the game. I think it's brilliant. And just what you said, it's interesting how years ago horses would run in the test, run in the Alabama. Now it's kind of like almost two separate divisions, the sprint division, the route division. I was looking at this the other day. Forgo, he won the Woodward going a mile and a half back in the day. 2 weeks later won the Vosburgh going 7 furlongs. 2 weeks after that won the Jockey Cup Gold Cup going 2 miles. So he used the Vosburgh as a warm-up. You know, you just don't see that anymore. So to see like a horse like Gamine, like you said, go 7/8, now come back to mile and eighth, I think it's brilliant. I always look at things, and who would I want to ride? And I was kind of leaning towards Swiss Skydiver earlier in the week, and then I go, you know what? I would control this race on the lead. I'm going with Gamine.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I had Dave Grenigan here yesterday, and he was tilting toward Gamine and saying she's just a freak. And we'll find out about that this afternoon. I'm tilting toward Swiss Skydiver. I thought the Alabama performance was phenomenal.
It's brilliant.
But it's just going to be fun to see them square off. I pulled up a little video of Tiz the Law just kind of stretching his legs down at Churchill a couple of days ago, so we can pull that up and get a look at him. It just seems like, boy, he comes into this as the leader of the class, and I can't get past him. And, Barkley, hats off to him for keeping him in such good form as he has over the last few months, and he looked just incredible. Normally you come into the Derby, and the question mark is a mile and a quarter. He not only answered it, he answered it with an exclamation point in the Travers. Your thoughts on Tiz the Law in the Derby?
Well, Tiz the Law, full disclosure, he does something to me. when he broke his maiden here last year, the courage he showed, the professionalism he showed. You know, people have made some talk about, well, he needs to be outside. Go back and watch him break his maiden here. He came through the line like Larry Zonka. Okay, so, and for people who don't know, that was a fullback for the Miami Dolphins when they had the perfect season.
I knew who you were talking about, but you might be.
But for the people out there, again, dating myself. But it's nice to know that I can still feel like a fan. You know, I've been in the game 40 years. I watched that horse, and I feel like I did when I was 13 years old watching Seattle Slew. He does something to me. You look at the way he watches things. He's so intelligent. He's constantly clocking everything. He's so aware of his surroundings. His presence is phenomenal. He has the obvious physical attributes to be that kind of athlete, but it's this that kind of sets him apart. And I was talking with Robin Smullins in the paddock for feature race or the ninth race yesterday.
Yeah.
And she was saying how they paddock schooled him yesterday. We had video of it. He looked very calm, cool. He was so mad that they brought him to the paddock and he didn't get to do anything, that he was dragging the groom and Heather Smullins to the back to the barn. They couldn't hardly hold him because he wanted to do something. So here's a horse trained to the minute by who to me should be in the Hall of Fame, Barkley Tag. And he has him honed to really fire on Derby Day. I'd be very disappointed. And it's a horse race. Horses lose. There's no shame in losing. I'd be very disappointed, very surprised if you got beat.
Yeah, we were saying yesterday, we did the Take the Kentucky Derby virtual seminar yesterday, and both Brian and I said, if he loses, it's a fluke. And there are flukes in horse racing, but he breaks badly or traffic or he comes out with a stomach ache, which you don't know. The horses can't tell you. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's just he seems talent-wise just to have an edge on this three-year-old group this year. And so if he loses, it'll be some kind of fluke, it seems like.
Well, you think about how he does things. He breaks sharp. He puts himself in the race. And then he kind of waits for Manny. What do you want to do? And a rider to have that luxury, because some horses, you crack on them a little bit leaving the gate, you turn them on, you can't turn them off. He has shown the ability to switch on and off and make multiple moves. Very few horses can do that. What he did in the Holy Bull, he was inside Manny, he's like, okay, I got to get him out of trouble. He stopped him, put him back in the clear, boom, he's right back in stride. You know, for people that don't, it's not like driving a car. You don't hit the gas and then lay off it and hit the gas again. A lot of times you hit the gas, you got to go keep going forward because they're not going to find it again. Great horses do that. To me, I think we're seeing what I consider great.
Yeah, certainly what we've seen so far, and there's another couple of races to maybe complete a triple crown. We'll keep our fingers crossed because it's fun also to root for Jack Knowlton and Saratoga. They've been very generous with us over the past few months. We were out at Pinellas for the Belmont Stakes watch party, and that was fun. And Jack has sat here a few times over the past few weeks, so it's going to be fun to watch. But I'll get your opinion. I've asked people over the past few days, triple crown this year, easier or tougher? Now, what I've said, Randy Moss and Jerry Bailey were on a conference call from what I read the other day, and they were asked, should this triple crown have an asterisk? Clearly, it should, because it's different.
It's different.
But I don't think an asterisk necessarily that says easier. I think we're talking about coming into the race this year. I think there are four or five three-year-olds with triple-digit buyers over the last few years. That's unusual. Mm-hmm. And then to have a triple crown where the potential winner of the Triple Crown tosses the Travers into the mix as well. As they say, it's different. I don't think it's necessarily easier.
No, I don't think it's easier by any means. They both formats, the 5 weeks, three races, and basically 15 weeks, right? They're unique challenges unto themselves. But you throw this into the mix, and I haven't really heard a lot of people talk about it. You always have a three-year-old that kind of emerges the second half of the year. And you can go back to Wajima, who wound up being three-year-old champion over Foolish Pleasure, who won the Derby, was second in the Preakness, I think second in the Belmont. He emerged up here. Kind of his breakout was the Travers, and he wound up defeating Forgo. So you've kind of broadened the gene pool for horses that are going to develop a little bit later. Also, the challenge is you get a horse that's doing good, and you can keep him good for the 5 weeks of the Triple Crown. Tough task, coming back, quick turnaround, you know, running back fast. But now you've had to keep a horse good for 15 weeks and take on new challenges as they develop and get better. I think both very difficult, neither one less so. I think it's as tough a task this year as in other years. And people say, well, Belmont wasn't a mile and a half. Under the circumstances that the whole world has been cast into, I think it was the prudent thing to do. You can't ask a three-year-old without that foundation to go a mile and a half. And, you know, we went through this historically years ago when horses ran more. A lot of horses would either prep in the Withers, the Jersey Derby, or the Met Mile between the Preakness and the Belmont. We've had Triple Crown winners do that. Or you can go back to Gallant Fox, who breezed a mile and a half Thursday before running the Belmont Saturday in 2:32. So basically he ran a Belmont 2 days before the Belmont. You know, the breed has changed, it's different, but I think it's just as difficult this year, just different.
Yeah, and as I say, deserves the asterisk, no question about it, because it is a very different situation, but I don't think an asterisk that says it was any easier by any means. Rich, before we let you go, update us, you're going to be on TV all weekend long?
Yeah, I'm all this week, all through. Today I'm on from 11 to 1 on the desk and then 4 to 7 reporting. I'm a utility player. They put me in where they need me. But I'm here through Monday. And then when Belmont starts, I'll be doing the shows down there as well.
Yeah, so, nice. Looking forward to it. As I said, it wouldn't have been a Saratoga season without you sitting in. So we appreciate the visit, some of the thoughts on the meet, and also the weekend down at Churchill. And I've said it all weekend long. Hopefully it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but we can all tuck it in our memory book now, the Kentucky Derby overlapping closing weekend at Saratoga.
Something else. You know, but listen, I think under the circumstances, everybody is adjusted and adapted as best as possible.
Yeah, it's going to make for a big weekend, certainly, horse racing fans. Rich, appreciate the visit.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Sorry I was late.
Oh, no, no problem. Richard Migliori from New York Racing Association and the Fox program. You can check him out over the weekend and beyond. We'll take a break when we come back. Maybe come back for a little, take a look at the card today. Now I'm being told, okay, so we will come back with Jenny Reese live from Churchill Downs. So we'll check in with her and get a little update on what's going on down in Louisville. Stay tuned. That all comes up right after this. No track, no problem. There's no better place to follow the Saratoga race meet than Capital OTB and OTB TV. With our live TV shows from the Saratoga backstretch and our live remotes, all the information you need is right here. Each and every day of the Saratoga meet, we talk with all the top trainers, jockeys, handicappers, and racing personalities. So stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV this racing season and win more. Welcome back to Racing Across America. Yes, it is a very strange 2020 when here on the last weekend of Saratoga. We are reaching out to Louisville, live from Churchill Downs, Jenny Reese, to give us a little update on Oaks and Derby weekend. Jenny, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little Oaks and Derby and news. You're part of the pool team that are down there, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, give us a little update, because I think the last couple of days you have had kind of weather that was similar to what we have up here. We've been off the turf the last couple of days up here, but it's a gorgeous day in Saratoga, and I'm hoping, but you can give us an update, I'm hoping nice weather today and tomorrow down at Churchill as well.
Well, it's supposed to be gorgeous. You know, there was a little spit in rain this morning, and I'm like, where'd that come from? Because it certainly wasn't in the forecast. But I got here to the media area pretty early, so it wasn't, you know, real daylight yet, but it looks like it's supposed to be a gorgeous day, and the turf they're calling good, the track fast. There's a lot of rain that might be on the softer side of good, but it's just gonna be spectacular after all this, you know, years of mud and ruining shoes, and after Justify's year I ruined the cell phone and water got in my the pocket of my very waterproof jacket watching the Derby. Now you get in this very strange year, like you said, perfect, like all weather, low humidity. It's going to really be great, and it's just a shame that we can't have 170,000 of our closest friends along with us out here.
Yeah, we just saw a live shot of the track, and it looks like it's a gorgeous day down there. So great news that we'll have a nice, fair track for everybody over the next couple of days. Fill us in. I had Tom Law in here a few days ago, and, of course, as the president of the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Association, he talked to us a little bit about the situation down at Churchill. You and a few others have been the pool reporters, as it were, leading up to the Oaks and Derby weekend, and I will tip my cap. You guys have been doing a great job putting out videos and news and notes and whatnot, so good job there. But just fill us in on the mechanics of the situation down there as far as you and the more exclusive group of pool reporters this year.
Yeah, they really, really have limited the people that can be on the backside of Derby Week, including, like, no jocks agents. They can be there the day after the Derby, but Derby Week they can't be there. So they said there could be 5 reporters at the NTWAB the turf writers would select to be pool reporters and to share everything. And, I was happy to be selected one. I was, glad, but I also thought, my whole thing is getting stuff out about racing. I want people to use the content. I'm not using it for my own. I'm not driving anybody to a certain publication or anything. But I want to really give a shout out to my colleagues in the pool that are working for other publications. Byron King with the Blood Horse and Nicole Russo with the DRF. They've been outstanding, and they're not holding anything back. We also have, Leisha Hughes with the NTRA and Greg Hall, who is, my longtime colleague at the Courier Journal when we were both there, who's vice president of the Turf Riders. And what I did learn is we've really worked. There might be people thinking, I wish I could have been back there, but, we're spending hours and hours a day on this pool stuff. So it's almost like a full-time job. But I am proud of it, and I have been doing a lot of video. You know me, I like the videos. I've been there, done that as far as writing stories. The whole thing to me is let's get the interviews out there where the writers can write the stories up. But people are doing it in a variety of ways. There's been some stories, there's notes, there's updates. But I'm me and my iPhone these days, I probably hardly even have a pen on me.
Now, as I say, you've been doing a great job. And I've been checking out the videos and whatnot and kind of trying to pass some of them along. And we'll show some clips from some of those videos as we move along here. But let's check in with, you were on the backstretch this morning, I assume. Is there any buzz on the backstretch this morning we should know about?
Well, because they closed the track at 8 with the early post, 11 o'clock post today, the special Derby time was 5:15 to 5:30, and all but maybe 2 horses, Derby horses, went out during that time, and the other ones came out shortly thereafter. In the case of like Bob Baffert and Gamine did train this morning, the Oaks favorite. I tell you, Honor AP looks sensational. Tizza Law looks really terrific as well. I tell you, a horse, and like I tell people with my undiscerning eye, a horse has to either look really good or really bad for me to tell the difference. But some people who know or have a better eye than me, there's a horse that's really caught their attention in training, and he's 30-1 and it's Max Player. So I'm definitely using him in all my the gimmicks and stuff. But I really think at this point it's a 2-horse race. I think it would have been a 3-horse race, crushing to us locals that Art Collector had a little bobo on his heel, and they decided not to even enter where they wouldn't be tempted. And I give them all the credit in the world, because I think 75% of the people who had the horse would have tried to patch him up and get him over there. And they said to get him over any other way than 100% is just doing it for ego. They talked about having a bar shoe or this or that. They said, no. We're just going to point towards the Preakness now. Yeah. And that had to be a real bitter pill for them, because they're all from Louisville. Art Collector checked a lot of boxes for me, not only being local. Of course, I work for the local Horsemen's Association, the HBPA. But he won the Ellis Park Derby, and he broke his mane at Kentucky Downs on turf. So we were like, name it. If he won the Derby, I asked the boss, can we name a stakes after him? Yeah, well, anyways, we'll see what happens next. But I do think since the point systems come into play, your favorites have done really well. The races have been, it's like what's in front of you. And if you're looking at the form and looking at the horses, it's hard to get past your Oz horse, Tis the Law, and Honor AP. And I did pick Honor AP over Tis the Law, in part being because I never learned my lesson about just seeing what's in front of you. The horse looks like he's the fastest. He's a mile quarter horse. He came home fast. But Mike Smith, I have a lot of regard for, and I was talking to him, and he just loves the way Honor AP said he wasn't really cranked up that last race, and he really thinks that he's going to be like Giacomo minus a zero on his odds. He's 5-1 instead of 50-1. That he's going to really appreciate getting the longer stretch, you know, the mile and a quarter, the different surface. He's a lightly raced horse himself. He's only run 5 times. He's got enough speed, but, you know, he doesn't have to certainly, you know, be on the lead. But I think he can work out a really great trip with him. And I just think that, and it's gorgeous. He to me, he wins the beauty contest out there. This big black horse with his big white blaze. And the one thing I would say about Tis the Law is, and this is all the credit to Barkley Tagg and his team, it is hard to keep a horse on a streak like that, to be good, to be ready to go, to have been the favorite in early May, and then to now be the favorite. And, you know, people have asked, is there an asterisk if he would win this race and then go on and win the Preakness, the Triple Crown? I say, yeah, there is an asterisk, but it could be an asterisk for the good. It is an asterisk because it is completely different. But that doesn't mean it's any, you know, easier and it's any less of an accomplishment. I mean, when you really think about it, that could be a horse you look back in the, racing manual years from now and say, especially knowing the era where these horses just, you know, they don't make full seasons and stuff like that. But it's just been remarkable. And it just seems like the horse has gotten better. And, you know, one question we always have going to the Derby is, can they go a mile and a quarter? Well, we know absolutely for this horse, and not just go a mile and a quarter, go in it fast and finish fast. Just really exceptional, and just, you know. So
that's fun. That's funny.
The yellow bus is going to be back. You know, the owners are coming in a yellow bus, just like they did in 2003. It's funny, like two buses though, because they're socially distancing.
That's funny that you brought up the asterisk, because I just had Richard Migliori in here, and I brought up that asterisk. And I said the same thing. I said, clearly there has to be an asterisk. It's very different this year. But I said it's not one that signifies it's going to be any easier, because I think there are different obstacles that have to be overcome that makes it equally, if not more, difficult. So there'll be an asterisk, but it's not saying that he's doing something
not on the horse at all. No. One thing about this Derby, though, is, you know, you could get in without any points, and a couple horses did. Since the point system came into play, it has really achieved its mission of rewarding the horses that were in the best form late and as the distances got longer. And this year, of course, the extra 4 months just really skewed all that. So there's a lot of horses in here that, well, I said, look, there's 8 50-1 shots. I said, if you put them all in, say, the Ellis Park Derby, that would be a heck of a field for the Ellis Park Derby. But in the Kentucky Derby, it's not like some years you look and you think half the field could win. I just don't think half the field can win. Having said, I think there's a bunch of them that can be second. That seems sort of the story of the Derby, including last year. The best horse did finish first. He was disqualified, and Country House, who was a nice horse that, you know, got up for second, was kissed in. Wouldn't that be a story, though, if this horse that was a late entry, South Bend from Vilmont, if he wins straight up this year? And my understanding is Bill's not coming in, so that would be, you know, but he's a good-looking horse. But I just think that it's going to be awful tough. There's just a couple horses there on the front end, including Tis the Law. And those owners, I just give them a lot of credit because they let Barkley Tagg. He's old school, and they let him be old school, and they let him train the way he wants to. But just there's a lot I really admire about that horse.
Let me ask you this, because every year as we get to the first Saturday in May,
I can't hear you, sir.
It seems like on the back stretch.
Yeah, okay.
You got me?
I got you now.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this because it seems like every year as we come into the first Saturday in May on the backstretch, there is some kind of a horse that gets a little bit of buzz, the workouts or whatever. You mentioned Max Player. I will say over the past few days, I've been hearing Forcible has looked good and has been kind of breathing some fire from his nostrils. So, Enforceable, what have you heard about him? But is there any other horse that's getting some buzz?
I talked to Mark Cassie this morning. It was his first morning that he was here. It's the first time he's left Florida since COVID hit. He drove up here. And that's what he said. He's a, you know, he knows the horse has to really improve. But he said he's really doing so much better now than he was. He said if the Derby had been in May, he wouldn't have been in the Derby. Even though he was second in the Risen Star and then he was fifth in the Louisiana Derby. But they said, even though he's tall, he's a light-framed horse, and they said he's put on, my gosh, they said probably, like at Bluegrass, after the Bluegrass, he weighed, I want to say he said like 950, it was definitely 900-something pounds, and now he's like 1,100-something pounds. I mean, you know, that sounds like me in the COVID era, you know, that kind of weight gain. But, you know, and he's going to be closing, so he's certainly a horse that if he pops up and hits the board at a you know, a big price, he's 30-1. There's some, you know, I'm just looking at the program now and think, hey, you got the 2-year-old champion and he's 50-1. I don't think that's unprecedented, though, a 2-year-old champion being 50-1 in the Derby. I'm thinking of Answer Lively, maybe was.
But, oh, yeah.
You know, he's another horse that, maybe gonna like the change of you know, getting to Kentucky. It's just you know, and hey, but speaking of horses that could get a piece of it at a big price, I think Major Fed, who's 50-1, he's another local horse. You know, he's you know, he trains here every day. He didn't run well in the match. He's a horse, though. I think he's the dollar bill at this year's Derby, if y'all remember Dollar Bill going back. And he might have even ended up the post-time favorite somehow, even though he was, I think, fourth in his final prep, the Blueway. Dollar Bill always got into trouble. And I think there's horses like that. You want to make excuses, you want to make excuses. Sometimes horses are just good enough to get into trouble and not good enough to get out of it. And good horses make their own trip. And I think it's sometimes unfair to say that a horse like, for instance, Tizzalot, well, he's had things his own way or this or that. They make their trips. They make it look, you know, because they're good enough to be, you know, exceptional enough to be out of trouble. So I think you can kind of, but it wouldn't surprise me if Major Fed got up to get a piece of it. I talked to Greg Foley, he says he couldn't be doing any better. He's looked the picture too, that horse. Worked really good. You know, he worked in 59 the other day. They're very high on him, but he's going to have to break. That's the whole thing. He's good in the gate, but it's like after the gate. Something always seems to happen. He takes like one step, and then he's slow, or somebody, you know, because he's not breaking alertly, he's in position for somebody to slam him or something, or shut him off. So, but there's going to be less horses. There's only going to be 17 horses with the scratch of King Guillermo, which, that's another thing that's not going to hurt Tis the Law. King Guillermo coming out as a horse with some speed, so, yeah.
Well, talk a little bit about, if you've heard anything about a couple other horses with Kentucky connections, Dale Romans with Attachment Rate, and Dallas Stewart, who always seems to get a big price underneath with Winning Impression. Again, another couple of Kentucky guys.
You're right, and Winning Impression, that's something that, you know, the owners are happy. They're syndicate, they like being in the Derby. They're in the Derby. If you go back, I actually talked to Joe Rocco this morning, who rides. Like, he said, you know, if you go back far enough, you know, some of his races, you know, he looks like he can, you know, he ran fourth in the Arkansas Derby that was won by a very good horse. I don't even know. But, you know, it would, if he hit the board, would that be a shock? No. If he won, yes, it definitely would be a shock. You know, I really don't know what to make with a horse like Thousand Words. He was a really good horse early. He cost $1 million, so he should be a really good horse. Then he ran poorly in two races, and his last race was a good race, but it was, it was a four-horse field. He looked like he had a pretty comfortable lead the whole way through. It was a mile and 16ths. you know, would it be a shock? No, because he looks like a horse who doesn't have to have the lead. You know, he's going to be up pretty close. Sol Volante is another horse that's getting a little, you know.
I put him in my mix.
He's a horse that, though, that, you know, he's going to be closing again. And, you know, he's got a lot of grass in his pedigree. And the late, great John Asher used to always say, grass in the pedigree for the Derby doesn't hurt you. And I'm thinking of, like, Animal Kingdom and stuff. And maybe it's because those horses are real mile and a quarter horses. But getting a mile and a quarter in September is different than a mile and a quarter for these three-year-olds in May. You know, you think of a horse like Chief's Crown, who couldn't get the distance in May and then went on and won the Travers. And did he also win the Jockey Club Gold Cup maybe? Well, that might, it might have been a mile and a half back then. But anyways, point being, it's a – but Sol Volante, he – I don't know much about Luca Panisi, the jockey, but I, you know, I'm looking at his form. But I just don't know what the pace is going to be. You know, people say, oh, it'll be hot, it'll be hot. Since the point system, I don't think there's really been a hot pace in the Derby since, well, was it either American Fair or Justified Year? One year it was pretty hot, maybe it was Justified. But the one example was when Todd Pletcher put the blinkers on Palace Malice. And he, like, ran off with them. And that was a fast pace. But you just haven't had as fast a pace because you don't have those real sprinters that you get. You know, you were getting before when it was based on money. And even this year where you have horses that are getting without points, you just don't have, like, the speed ball. So, you know, and I don't know what to make of a horse like Money Moves.
I tossed him in my mix.
There were three good races, but... You know, he should go a mile and a quarter, right?
I think he's kind of interesting. Only three starts and seems to be maybe on the improve, certainly on the buyers. So I toss him in.
You know, it's kind of like this is almost when the Travers was, right?
Yeah.
And you see horses, of course, Arrogate being an example, but he was an exceptional horse. You see horses that the Derby, quote-unquote Derby rules just don't apply.
Yeah.
You know, they don't apply. I didn't even do my final fractions, which is kind of my signature thing that I do this year, because it to me, it's just irrelevant, and that's based on a mile and eighth race in the last prep, how fast you come on the last eighth mile and the three-eighths a mile, and the idea being that it shows if a horse is in form or if he's kind of tailed off or if he just isn't going to want to go an extra eighth mile. This year, you got horses coming in off mile and quarter races. You got horses coming in off mile 16th races. Thank God that, you know, Ron Flatter is carrying the banner for that and really doing the heavy lifting and the hard work with that. He kindly still credits me with it. But I just thought, you know, it's not relevant this year. So, you know, and it's going to be such a small sample. And I hope it stays a small sample of only one September Derby.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I don't, you know, let's let the Travers get back to being the Midsummer Derby.
Yeah, I'm with you. Everybody is with you. And again, it's a very different year, no question about it. But I said we pull up a little of video you and the pool people have been putting together. And I pulled up a little video from a couple of legends. And so there is some normalcy down there in Kentucky. When Wayne Lucas and Bob Baffert are having a little conversation, a couple of legends of the Derby, just to have a couple of guys like that around. And Wayne Lucas coming back and recovering from having coronavirus himself. It was kind of fun to see the video of Baffert and Lucas kind of chatting in Lucas's office, I'm assuming.
Well, how amazing is that? Wayne, did he turn 85 yesterday? was his birthday? Yes. Alicia's telling me yes. 85. He recovers from COVID, and he's back on the pony. I mean, that's insane. I told him, you know what? You're the second toughest person pound for pound on the racetrack. I still got to put Tammy Fox on top there. But Wayne is—it's just remarkable. And you know, with Todd not coming, it's a really nice touch that Wayne will be saddling Money Moves in the Derby. That's really cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah, Todd, the Todd Pletcher Twitter account tweeted out thanks to Wayne for overseeing the workout of Money Moves yesterday, the day before. So it's just fun to see. And as they say, we're showing the video of Baffert and Lucas having a little conversation. So great to see. Brings it, as they say, some normalcy with a couple of Derby legends there. Jenny, before we let you go, coming up very shortly, I know you're closely tied with Kentucky Downs as well. And that meet is right around the corner.
Yes.
Give us a little preview of Kentucky Downs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You were breaking up a little bit. You were talking about Kentucky Downs. Yes, we open up Monday. I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around it. The 2 days after the Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Downs opens. But, you know, full fields. We're going to have 6 days this year. We're having a – let me see if I can get this in. It's the Kentucky Downs Turf Handicapping Championship, and we're going to crown the National Turf Handicapping Champion. It's two tournaments. One is the 13th, which is a week from Sunday, and one is closing day, the 16th. They're both live money tournaments, and with seats on the line, multiple seats on the line for the NHC. The first contest, there's also a BCBC prize at, but then there's going to be an overall winner, and you have to play in both tournaments. And then the overall winner gets a BCBC seat. Plus, to be determined how much, depends on how many entries, prize money. And of course, they get all the fame that they can stand by being declared the National Turf Handicapping Champ. And, you know, we were looking at doing an online tournament like that even before COVID, but obviously it's perfect and, you know, in this era. Monmouth Parks, Brian Skorka is the tournament director, and people, you can go to KentuckyDowns.com/racing. In fact, after this, I'll tweet out the press release on it. I think that I'm really happy that we're back in the business of being in handicapping tournaments and NHC qualifiers, because we have such a great betting product with almost 12 horses every race, the lowest overall blended takeout in the country. Just really proud that to work for a racetrack that sees the importance of, you know, taking care of the player and stuff. So, you know, really, and I can tell you we're going to have chicklets at the bottom of the screen this year, because I know that's one thing we're always been trying to, you know, we have a lot of challenges with the video product because we're a 1/16 track and we're not oval, you know, we're sort of kidney shaped and undulating and all that. But we are going to be using the Equibase, the new system for the graphics. So we'll have chicklets. So everybody will see, not just the top four that seem like those numbers are always kind of behind. You'll be able to see where your horse is among the 12 that's going to be in almost every race. So, you know, I hope all of your viewers tune in and bet Kentucky Downs, because it will be after Labor Day, the show, because no New York racing, no NYRA until after we close, and no Southern California racing. So we have a chance to really be in the spotlight. So far, it looks like it's going to be gorgeous weather through, as far as, you know, my little weather app says, but through the bulk of the race. So let's hope the weatherman doesn't tear up that ticket.
Yeah, that Kentucky Downs meet has become very popular with players over the past few years because, as you say, turf racing, A, people like that to begin with, but you have the rich purses that attract big fields, and so really looking forward to Kentucky Downs as well. And we may
I just want to remind people, too, that I think, well, I mentioned it before, Art Collector broke his maiden there. So Fort Larned won an allowance race there. So there's some good dirt horses that come out of our races as well as grass horses.
Yeah, because the purses are so rich, everybody wants to try, regardless of whether you're turf or dirt. You want to go out and go down there, give it a shot, no question. But as I say, our players certainly like it. And so we may check in with you again as the Kentucky Downs meet gets going. But again, appreciate your live report from Churchill this morning. And again, if you're sitting in the media room and Alicia's there, say hello for me to Alicia and some of the other folks in the media room. We'll be checking in via your reporting over the next few days, the pool. So, again, congratulations on doing a good job leading into the meet, and good luck over the weekend. We'll, as I say, be following the nice Oaks and Derby card, and appreciate the visit this morning.
Well, thank you, Seth, and happy handicapping to you and all your viewers.
That's the game plan, certainly. Thanks, Jenny. Jenny Reese, live from Churchill Downs. Again, she's part of that media pool, kind of a restricted pool this year, given the, obviously, the COVID circumstances. But as I say, they've been doing a great job leading into the Oaks and the Derby, and I'm sure that will continue over the next couple of days as well. All right, let me hit the promos before I wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Kind of a hybrid, who would have thought, a hybrid Derby Woodward Weekend edition of Racing Across America. But again, today the bounty bet returns. Somebody hit it last week, so we have reset $500 bounty, but you can take your shot at all or part of that by playing the late pick five today at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account. Also, the Saratoga track bonus to the top 50 highest wagering account holders. You get a little extra dough in your account. That happens today, Friday. Tomorrow, the Saratoga Syndicate, the Saratoga Saturday Syndicate. I'm virtually certain the team has already been selected. But again, Mike Callahan was in a couple of days ago and alerted us that it's become such a popular promotion that we will continue down at Belmont. So keep that in mind. And also keep in mind, there is one remaining syndicate up here. That's Monday, the mandatory pay in the Empire 6. Check the website to see if there's still some availabilities to jump into that syndicate on Monday. Saturday, tomorrow, OTB Live on the road down at Bailey's with Brian Nadeau. He will have a $500 bankroll to play throughout the afternoon that will be split up a little bit later on amongst the team. So if you're a Capital OTB bet account holder, swing by Bailey's tomorrow and use that as your venue to watch the races and maybe get a little free dough from the Brian Nadeau bankroll. That all happens tomorrow down at Bailey's, downtown Saratoga. Sunday, there's a double promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook, so swing by there if you'd like to choose that as your venue and have a little extra fun during the afternoon. Don't forget advanced wagering today on the Derby Day card if you'd like to take that option. Today, there's also, we're open already at both the Clubhouse and the Branches. Clubhouse open today at 9:30 and the Branches at 10, so every place is open already with early post time of 11 at Churchill and 12:20 up here at Saratoga. And early post times tomorrow mean that the Clubhouse opens at 9 a.m. tomorrow. All the other branches open at 10 a.m. tomorrow. If you swing by the Racebook tomorrow, the first 150 folks get a commemorative Kentucky Derby glass. There's also going to be some signed prints of Tis the Law available for $10 each, and it goes to charity. A nice, I've seen it, really nice print that'll give you a nice little memento of Derby weekend, hopefully with the Kentucky Derby winner featured on that print. And again, it's a charity that goes to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. Today and tomorrow at Martell's at the Colony Golf Course, the Bet Bus will be there. That's today and tomorrow at Martell's Colony Golf Course. And tomorrow at Chris's Mid-City Tavern in Menands, the Betmobile will be there. So you can take advantage of those other venue options also. All right, I think that covers everything. I do want to hit you with a programming note before we wind up. Again, we started early today because of the early post time at Churchill and here at Saratoga. Same game plan tomorrow. 7 a.m. here on the network tomorrow, we will replay the virtual 2020 Kentucky Derby seminar. Brian Nadeau and I went over the Kentucky Derby field. We were joined by Jeremy Plonk from HorsePlayerNow.com and Countdown to the Crown. So, again, that replays tomorrow at 7 a.m. It also may be available on the Capital OTB YouTube channel. You can check there also. But it will be broadcast tomorrow at 7. 8 o'clock tomorrow, handicapper support. Brian Nadeau and Anthony Mormino at 8 o'clock on the handicapper support tomorrow. We'll go over the Saratoga card, Woodward, and other great stakes action tomorrow here at Saratoga. And then 9 a.m. tomorrow, Saturdays at the Spa, again, an hour earlier than usual. But it's going to be kind of a continued handicapper support. Brian Nadeau and Anthony Mormino in the 9 o'clock hour will look at the Churchill Derby card. So you'll get to go over both Saratoga and Churchill tomorrow with the morning programming, which starts, again, an hour earlier tomorrow. So, as I say, I think that covers everything. So I'm going to wrap things up for this early edition of Racing Across America on a Friday morning. I'll be back in on Sunday morning for handicapper support. And Loose on the Lead. We'll be joined Sunday morning by Steve Bick. He's down at Churchill Live, so we'll get some live thoughts on the Kentucky Derby and more from Steve. All of that coming up Sunday morning on Loose on the Lead. But as far as the programming here on the network, as I say, we'll be back in tomorrow morning early, 7 a.m. for the seminar, 8 a.m. for handicapper support, 10 a.m. for Loose on the Lead. So enjoy all the racing this afternoon. Churchill with the Oaks, which should be phenomenal, and a great New York showcase day here at Saratoga. And as you can see, a gorgeous Saratoga Friday morning turning into a Friday afternoon. So cash some tickets. We'll see you back here on the network a little bit earlier on Saturday morning.
Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by
CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.